Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, we're going to talk about the Texas City disaster, because, Brandy, we know you love a good disaster story.
I do. I really do.
Yes. We're trying something different. We're trying to get you guys better sound, because we know our sound has not been the best, and we're going to try something different, so be patient with us. I'm sure it's going to get better every week, Brandy. We get better and better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not historically been the case, but sure, we can try it this week.
Well, it's going to be this week. So
we have the Colonel sound engineer on the case, Timmy. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
Colonel and his skills.
His phone duct taped to a pole somewhere.
Exactly.
How's that YouTube channel coming, Colonel?
Oh, it's coming along fine. To me, you know, I'm just waiting for some authorizations from them.
I see.
The ball's in their court right now, Timmy.
Let me first mention that we are a true crime comedy, history comedy podcast. We use adult language, so if adult language offends you, then we suggest you check out one of the other fine independently produced podcasts out there, such as Spy Stories, which I am going to check out today because you have a new one, Colonel.
We do have a new one out today, Timmy. Thank you.
Yes, I'm going to check that out. But let's start by introducing our panel, because apparently we're not going to cuss people out who are offended at language.
Well, no, here's what I don't get, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Here's what I don't get, and I have a hard time understanding this. If you want to listen to our show, you hit the YouTube channel, right, and you get on there. It's got a goddamn big red E on there.
The YouTube channel.
The fuck? Or our iTunes channel. iTunes. It's got a big red E for explicit. Now, you know, if this was me and you just running our highly intellectual things that we ran before, Timmy,
when the devil was on hiatus. I thought that's what it stood for.
Well, we wouldn't have that E. Oh. But then the devil's always got to run out with, you know, shut your dick, sucker, or whatever. So we get that E thrown on us, Timmy.
Basically, kind of foul language. You're right. If she wasn't on this show, we'd probably get the general rating and probably could.
She gives us the scarlet letter, Timmy, the scarlet E.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Yeah, whatever. It's bullshit, but you go with it.
But if you don't like it, go fuck yourself and get out of here. We don't want you on our podcast anyway.
Yeah. Let me introduce our panel. I'm joined today by the very talented, a woman who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy, if at all?
You know, Timmy, I'm feeling a little better today. I've had a bit of a cold, been a bit grouchy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know, but, you know, I'm feeling better. I got hot coffee and kind of working my way through this nasty cold.
Are you having a nice weekend?
It's not been too bad, although I have been sick. So yesterday I did nothing, and today I think I'm going to run down to work for a little bit and get some things done, and, you know, because I'm in the circle of excellence.
You are in the circle of excellence. Of course, the Colonel and I are outside the circle of excellence.
Way outside,
we're in this,
yes.
Well, outside, we're in the circle of adequate.
Barely. We're in the circle of mediocre, Timmy.
Why?
And we just barely reached that circle. We were standing in the circle of subpar for a long time.
We were.
But really, Timmy, I mean, when it comes to work, it's kind of funny. It's almost like with the Beatles that Ringo Starr got a Grammy. You know what I mean? Is that how you feel a little bit?
No, I don't feel like that at all.
No, that's how me and Timmy feel. That, you know, Ringo Starr got the Grammy, and
more like Pete Best, Timmy are, isn't it?
Yeah, Pete Best.
Well, I guess young Brittany would be like Pete Best.
John and Paul sitting out here thinking, "Huh, how'd that happen?" But anyway, congratulations on that, Devil. So,
yeah,
and that's really all the brandy time we have time for today,
right?
So,
clearly.
Unfortunately, it is. Yes.
Let me introduce a man who has been called brandy. He's been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
He has not.
A man who has been called the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
By no one.
A man who is considered the moral beacon of this podcast.
He is.
And
so
he really touches people's lives, Brandy.
In weird places.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Well, there we go.
I'm not good.
What's wrong, Colonel? Do you have a cold with fever?
I feel like that's enough Chuck time. That's enough Colonel time already.
Do you have cold with fever, Colonel?
I do not, but you know what? She's going to come into to our place of employment. She's going to germinate the whole place with the devil disease. You and I are going to be sickly because she's got breasts, so she can't get the man cold. And you know what's going to be like next week, Timmy?
We're going to be
me
sick.
And you laying in bed, racked with fever, having hallucinations. Nobody
racked
wanting to take
fever,
care of
Brandy.
Us. Racked with fever, hallucinations.
And
having
does she care?
Vision quests.
Does she care?
She don't care. She don't care. I bet you don't use antiseptic wipes on everything you touch today because you don't care if me and Timmy get sick.
No, but what I'm going to do is go in and lick something on your desk. So tomorrow you can go in and try and figure out exactly what that was before you come down with a cold.
Well, that gave me a little bit of a tingle there,
though. How about them apples?
I think maybe we should not work tomorrow, Colonel.
I think we should take the day out, although the thought of the devil licking things in my office is just inappropriate, devil.
It is kind of inappropriate.
See,
well, Colonel, how...
To reach the circle of excellence, I had to take out a lot of people. You're small potatoes compared to other... So, you know, taking you out is not going to be that hard.
Circle of adequate.
I would really like to know what you did to reach that circle of excellence.
I took out my competition.
Was this like the, college?
No.
I'm not saying it was.
You are saying it was, and it was not.
Because, Colonel, we may have some new listeners. When you say college, what were you referring to
there? My God.
I was referring to Brandy's serial manizing throughout college to improve
her
grades.
You're talking about her questionable grade in economics, I take it, her C+.
Well, that's the instance we know of, but where there's smoke, there's fire, Timmy. She probably pretty much all of her core curriculum.
Everything,
you know, probably
bowling
8-9 professors there.
Even.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
She probably didn't sleep with the bowling teacher.
And I knew better when I mentioned this, or when you guys asked me about it, I knew better. This was 20 years ago. I knew better than to say anything to you rat fuckers. And here we are, 5 years
talking
later.
Talking about it 10 years later. It was only 10 years ago when you first mentioned it.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was not. It was like 5.
You ever been to the zoo, Timmy?
You've been to the
Cincinnati Zoo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You go to the leopard place where they keep the leopards?
Uh-huh.
You ever seen a leopard change its spots, Timmy? It don't. It don't.
So you're
so that's what I got to say to you,
questioning
Devil.
You're questioning Brandy's Circle of Excellence award, I take it.
I'm just saying there was a little controversy surrounding it, Timmy. When the Mueller report comes out, I would not be surprised to find something about the devil and the Circle of Excellence award.
Right.
I believe there was Russian influence behind that, Timmy.
Just FYI, I don't know if you know this, but that report is out. Feel free to read it at any time.
It's like 400 pages.
I know.
Somebody give me the Cliff Notes version.
I follow.
Yeah, not a picture in there.
All right.
All right. Let's talk about
that. Was enough Colonel time.
Yeah, let's talk about the Texas City disaster, Brandy. Because this was a major, I mean, this was a big deal. And Colonel, I know you read this script, so you know that.
I did.
Well, they don't just throw the word disaster around willy-nilly.
Well, right.
Or crisis.
Well, they shouldn't anyway, because it should be for a real disaster.
It should
Texas
be.
City, Brandy, no. is a city. That makes sense. It's a city.
Yeah. Sure
in Galveston County in the state of Texas. We got a lot of friends in Texas, of course. Our good friend,
you know, Timmy,
Jason Dykes.
Isn't pretty much everything a disaster in Texas, Timmy?
And we have a lot of listeners in Texas. We got Jason, we got Jimmy Pribble, we've got Aaron Fowler,
Jennifer Riker Smith. Yes.
Smith, we got Fowler. I mean, we got a lot. So
Ben's down there.
Ben's down there now.
That's just a disaster waiting to happen, Timmy. Come on.
So you're saying it's not, you know, Ben is not going to tip the scale in bringing to changing the situation there in Texas, is what you're saying.
I think those people together are possibly not the best combination.
Oh, and then they get Karen Barnes down there. I mean, Karen Towns.
Yeah. What was they thinking?
I don't know. But anyway, Texas City is located in the southwest shoreline of Galveston Bay. You ever been to Galveston, Texas, Colonel?
You know, Timmy, I have never been to Texas.
Okay. Well, Galveston is like a...
And I'll tell you why I've never been to Texas, Timmy.
Because they won't let you in?
Because they say everything's bigger in Texas, right?
Right.
So what I'm afraid of, Timmy, and we just saw this on a History Dweebs page about the transplants, you know, the penile scrotum transplants. Well, I'm afraid that once I cross that line from Oklahoma to Texas, if something gets bigger, it's going to look like, you know, you took a smoked sausage kielbasa thing, put it in the microwave too long.
He's worried about penis enlargement, Brandy.
I'm very worried about that, Timmy.
Spontaneous penis enlargement. Is it a real problem? SPE. Many men suffer from it, Brandy.
The struggle is real.
Well, in Galveston, in Texas City, this is where they have, you know, they do the oil refining. Colonel, I know you've worked on oil rigs before.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. The population in Texas City is about 45,000 people. Now, Texas City is the heart of one of the world's most important shipping hubs. As of 2008, the port of Texas City was the 14th largest hub in the United States. With a total ton of trade in 2007, was the 87th leading port in the world. So it's an important port, right? And if you've ever been down in the Gulf, you know that there's a lot of oil rigs and all that stuff going on there. So it's an industrial place. All right.
87 doesn't seem all that important to me, but...
Well, in the world, I mean, there's a lot of ports in the world. Brandy's, you know, she's been known to hang out in ports of call.
Well, Brandy has been a port in the storm for many people, but...
Really?
Continue, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel. Really? On the morning of April 16th, 1947, so we just passed the anniversary there.
Shortly
after 8 a.m., the hatch on the number 4 hold of the French ship, the SS Grand Camp. Well, the French are involved, Colonel, so you know this is going to be a fucking
I'm surprised
story.
They just didn't surrender before this whole thing happened.
It was opened so that the crew could resume loading a shipment of fertilizer bound for Europe. So we're sending shit to Europe, Brandy. That's where we are in the story at this point.
Aren't we always sending shit to Europe?
Sometimes they send shit to us.
Yeah.
Just think of they send us the Spice Girls. That's shit.
They did.
Europe. That was UK. So I'm sure Europe sent us something. Remember that group, Europe, Brandy?
I do. Final Countdown and all that.
Final Countdown, yes. Okay.
And Europe gave us ABBA, Timmy.
Yeah, that's true. They did give us ABBA.
Yeah.
And we can't.
We still owe them for that.
I wanted to do the two girls when I was younger, not the dudes.
What? Or last week, whatever.
Along the waterfront, there were plenty of work for the town's longshoremen. Now, Brandy, you're familiar with longshoremen.
She is long.
Is this what we're going to do today? Because I cannot take it today. I cannot.
You have a cold.
You've had a colorful past. That's all we're saying. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not shaming you in any way.
Familiar with ports of call and longshoremen.
From your glass house? From your glass house, you're going to start tossing stones. Charles.
Yeah, Chuck, you shouldn't do that.
Let's not, Timmy. Let's not. Let's not put
Let's
that
just
there.
Stick to the script, please.
And next to the wharf,
because
stood
I don't want
to
get into those.
Steaming landscape of chemical plants, Brandy, and oil refineries.
That'd be beautiful.
Yeah, it does. I have to admit, I took a cruise out of Galveston once, and it's not the most scenic place in the world. They provided.
Then why did Glenn Campbell send
that?
Yeah,
they got cruises that go out of Galveston, and you go past all these oil rigs.
No. You took a cruise.
Yeah.
With people.
Yeah.
Timmy's quite the world traveler.
My wife wanted to do it. But yeah. I know. I stayed in my cabin most of the time.
I bet. All those people and stuff.
I know. Yeah.
Germs.
They have a lot of people on the cruises, too.
Yes,
you know, you can
do.
Retire on cruises.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like $1,000 a week you can live on a cruise.
Yeah, it seems goofy.
Anyway, there's a lot of oil refineries down there, and there were steady, good-paying jobs in that town, Randy, in Texas City. I'm sure there still are.
I'm sure.
Now, at the time, they had a population of only 18,000. But it was a boom town. Texas City was a boom town, a place that the hometown newspaper declared with every edition to be the port of opportunity, Brandy. The port of opportunity. Colonel, the port of opportunity.
You know, Timmy.
Pass, I guess. Okay.
The largest port in the world is Shanghai, Timmy. Did you know that?
Is what?
Shanghai.
I did not. I have not been to Shanghai.
I wish I was Shanghai for this fucking podcast. Can we get this going?
I'm betting in Shanghai they have shenanigans.
They do have shenanigans.
Shanghai shenanigans.
Yes, that would be nice. That would be a good name for a movie, actually, wouldn't it?
Like a good band name.
Yeah. If anyone complained about the smell in Texas City, they were told that it was the smell of money, Brandy, and that still soon. That they soon would grow accustomed to it. It's kind of like where we
Timmy,
work because we have
it
a
really
brewery.
Is.
We have
it
a brewery across the street
and
the
pickle plant.
And the pickle plant. So
no, Timmy, I got to stop you there, Timmy.
Okay.
And a lot of.
Do you know what the smell of money is?
What's the smell of money, Colonel?
Boob sweat.
Yeah, that is. That's true, Brandy.
Boob sweat.
There's money in them. Their boobs.
Oh my God.
Anytime, take a dollar bill, Timmy. Smell it. It's got boob sweat on it because you know this, devil. Women shove money down into their bras. The smell of money, what you're smelling, is boob sweat. And
I've never thought about that, Brandy, but he makes a lot of sense.
I can tell. I can take a dollar bill, take a sniff, and tell you if it's a B, a C, double D, just from the scent of the dollar bill to me.
He has talent. He has skills, Brandy. You have to admit the man has skills.
Fucking idiot. Jesus Christ.
Well, they say they used to say that every dollar had traces of cocaine on it, all the currency did.
Now it has glitter.
That was kind of a, but it is the truth that almost every single paper currency that runs throughout the United States has got some degree of boob sweat on it. From you women not having wallets.
Hmm. Well, I didn't know that, Colonel. I learned something new every time we
made
do
it
one
up.
Of these.
Port of Tianjin, Timmy. Tianjin. Bigger than Galveston.
Occasional fires and explosions were just part of the equation, Brandy.
Shit.
Yeah. They had, in effect, come to be treated by the townspeople there as a source of public theater. So, a refinery blows up, it's just, you know, it's entertainment.
It's just good fun.
Yes.
What is back before the internet, Timmy? They didn't have cable. They didn't have cell phones. They couldn't be playing, like the devil, Candy Crush on the phone. So it's like, what do you want to do today? Oh, let's go down and look at the thing on fire.
And I guess the OSHA requirements were pretty loose back in the day. So if lightning struck an oil storage tank to spark a fire, a crowd would gather to watch it burn. It was going. It's like going to the picture show, Brandy. I know you've been to the picture show a time or two. When's the last time you've been to the picture show, Brandy?
It's been a while. It's been a while because, you know,
Do you remember the first movie you ever saw at the picture show?
Grease.
Oh, yeah, you're old. I saw...
Damn you old.
I saw Mr. Limpet with Don Knox. He turned into a fish. It was a classic.
I saw The Godfather, Timmy.
That was the first movie? Really?
I was 8 years old. It was pretty goddamn horrifying for an 8-year-old.
You know, my dad took me to see Bonnie and Clyde, and my kindergarten teacher flipped the fuck out. Why are your parents taking you to see a violent movie? It was pretty violent, too. It was good. I saw Faye Dunaway's titties.
Yes, and they were nice titties in there, too. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's a lot of,
had a $20
bill
stuck
to industrial accidents and shit down there when it was going on. But anyway, there was a ship fire on April 16th, 1947 that they were talking about. It was just seen as, okay, you know, business as usual, right? No one in town had seen one quite like it because it was quite large. And the color of the smoke caught their eye. Some called it a peach color. Some called it a reddish orange. I thought that was the same thing, but maybe not. Many
collar.
Said it was. Many
What's
said
a
it was. Many said it was very pretty, Brandy. Like they're referring to me.
It was like a sunset in the south, Timmy.
It was a Tim-like fire. Very pretty.
It was a Tim-like fire. Very pretty, colorful, intense, yeah, so dangerous.
The ship full of.
And burn slowly.
This ship full of fertilizer, Brandy, caught on fire. That's never a good combination.
That's never good. That's never good.
At Texas City, it was loaded primarily with ammonia nitrate, a crystalline powder that, in peacetime, was an excellent source of nitrogen for crops. But in wartime, Brandy... The substance was combined with TNT to make a bursting charge in demolition bombs.
What could go wrong, Timmy? What could go wrong?
So these idiots are sitting around looking at it. Isn't it pretty?
Only in Texas would people do something like that. I'm surprised they didn't have
this
in the ports of Florida. I know. They got ports down in Florida. This seems more likely... Down there, but
I don't think it would
down
matter.
There. They'd be sniffing the nitrate stuff. So
I bet it could gather a crowd cruising down the Ohio River. You'd have a whole crowd of people watching it.
It was like
we wouldn't mix all that stuff together here.
2005, when they had the tsunami, they said that one of the things with tsunamis is that the tide goes out really far. And, you know, people were, like, just out trying to collect shells and stuff. Then the tsunami hit. On April 16th, 1947, around 8 a.m., smoke was spotted in the cargo hold of the Grand Camp, that French ship full of fertilizer that we talked about, while it was still moored. Over the next hour, attempts to extinguish the fire or bring it under control failed as a red glow returned after each effort to douse the fire. So everything they did to put it out seemed to make it worse. It was like the Blob, Brandy. Did you see the movie The Blob? Whatever they did to try to kill the Blob just made it bigger.
Right.
You probably never saw The Blob. That was before your time, I think.
I think I saw it a while ago.
Yeah. A good movie. When the fire
and it was before my time,
just barely. When the fire inside the Grand Camp, the ship, could not be doused with jugs of drinking water. Well, they had jugs of drinking water, so they were prepared.
They were totally prepared.
And a portable.
Aren't they sitting on water?
I don't know. Scott, I would think so if it was more.
Not to ask the obvious question, but okay.
They also had a portable extinguisher. as well.
Oh,
so they were prepared.
Yeah.
An order was given to batten down a ship's hatches, Brandy, and cover them with tarp.
That's what you do.
Yeah, well, the Grand Camp's fire smothering system, steam system, was activated to keep the cargo from being damaged by the water. But instead of killing the fire, the heat and pressure started what is that word? I can't read my own writing.
It made it worse, Timmy.
Decomposition of the ammonia nitrate fertilizer and produced combustible gas. So this is not a good, this is not going well, Brandy. Apparently, there's no physicist trying to put out this fire. The ship's
firemen for that part. It seems like the firemen would know that, but
the ship's hatch covers eventually blew off, sending the smoke skyward. Brandy. By 8:45 a.m., it's about 35 minutes later. 27 members of the Texas City Volunteer Fire Department were spraying water on the deck of the ship. The ship was so hot that the water from the fire hoses evaporated.
Vaporized,
yes.
There you go.
Predictably, a crowd began gathering to watch the unusual smoke that formed above the port. Said someone at gym class at Central High School, "Hey, let's go see it." So kids,
let's go check this out.
I feel like that person was Chuck.
So the kids cut class and ran down to the wharf to watch the fire. In the South Side neighborhoods closest to the city's industry, you know, where a lot of the workers, you know, were there. They were a lot of Texas City's Black and Mexican American population live. People gathered along the edge of the firewall to view the smoke. The sight was no less enticing to the thousands of men and women who worked in the town's petrochemical industry. At the Republic Oil Company refinery, the chief of security was talking carloads of people to the decks to watch the fire. So they had a little tour business going on there.
Hey.
The refinery manager, assistant manager, personnel director, laboratory manager, and transportation director were all ran outside to catch rides to go down to the wharf to watch the fire. The decision to stop work along the waterfront was made after it became clear the fire inside the Grand Camp could not be controlled. Siri Johnson, a 37-year-old longshoreman who was unloading rail cars that day. Did you know him, Brandy?
I did not. Okay. I do not.
He didn't bother.
Well, she may have met him. She just doesn't remember his name, Timmy.
He didn't bother to stop and gawk when the call to quit working went out. So everyone is rushing down, and him and his colleagues milled around nearby warehouses to watch the fire. Johnson decided to get a cup of coffee, Brandy. Have a cup of coffee.
as one is wont to do.
He walked to the nearby cafe. As he walked to the nearby cafe, he passed Father William Roach, a well-known Catholic priest in town, and Mike McKiskey, the head of the Texas City Terminal Railroad Company, which operated the port. So the two men were speaking in earnest tones about towing the burning ship away from the docks if the fire grew worse. Which sounds like
the fuck does Father Roach have to do with any of this? Like,
I guess they're just kind of out looking.
Mike's decision.
They're kind of watching, and then. And Mike is like, yeah, maybe we should, you know, tow this ship away from the
away
the port.
From the, you know, shore. Sure.
Yeah. Away maybe. From all the people, you know.
Yeah.
And
what would Jesus do, Father? Yeah, let's do that.
Well, who's the son of a bitch gonna get the little towboat out there, the tugboat?
Another longshoreman.
You gotta hook something to it, you know, you gotta hook it.
Another longshoreman.
You hook it.
And I'll tell you who they call for something like that, devil.
The Human Torch?
Lanny.
They can have him.
Lanny.
Another longshoreman named George Sanders. Did you know him, Brandy?
Are you fucking kidding? It's 1947.
She don't even remember faces. She remembers faces, not names, Timmy.
Okay. Ugh. Anyway, George Sanders, another longshoreman, also stopped his work loading flour on the freighter Wilson B. Keene. You know that one, Brandy. Moored in the ship.
Why
just,
the fuck would I know a freighter?
Moored in the ship just south of the burning Grand Camp. So he's, well, no, he stopped working on the Wilson.
He was loading flour and he stopped.
Yeah. He wanted
fascinating part of the story.
I'm guessing a lot of people's going to end up with flour on him, but I digress.
They get flour on their face after this.
Sanders,
Timmy,
who was
Timmy.
21, huh? Wait a minute, I got to talk about George Sanders. He was 21 years old, had worked on the Grand Camp the day before, and instead of going home, he stopped to watch the fire at the end of the slip. So he should have went home, Brandy, instead of you milling about work. Always go home right after work. Never mill about.
The port of Guangzhou, Timmy?
Do I?
Bigger than the port of Guangzhou is bigger than the port of Galveston.
Oh, thank who you, the Colonel. Fuck cares about that? Fuck.
The port of Ningbo Zhoushan is bigger than the port of Galveston. It's the fourth biggest port in the world. Port of Shenzhen's bigger than that, Timmy.
Okay, Brandy, tell us what happens next. Thank you, Colonel.
Fuck, Cliff. Well, all right, so Sanders stepped up on a small fence to get a better look over a barge that had partially blocked his view.
Well, you don't want anything blocking your view when a ship is about to blow up, Brandy.
Well, no. A boy he knew walked up to watch. Nearby in a building at the Monsanto Chemical Company, people kept walking.
Monsanto?
Yeah.
Okay.
People kept walking into the drafting room that had a window which afforded an ideal view of the ship fire. Excuse me.
You okay there, Doc Holliday?
Well, you want an ideal view of that.
Freaking cold.
Yeah, you don't want to get a bad view of a fire and a possible explosion.
Ship burning up.
It seemed to Mary Hunter, a secretary to the head engineer at Monsanto, that the smoke
Hold
was
on.
Billowing.
Did you say head engineer?
Secretary to the head engineer, yes.
Okay.
She took head notes.
Alone. She's just doing her job.
She took notes. She could take dictation while serving
That's right, shorthand. All right. So it seemed to her that the smoke billowing into the air was keeping everyone from settling down to work. Someone had brought donuts to the office as a further distraction. Hunter, who had
I like
breakfast.
Donut day. I like donut day at work.
Hunter, who had skipped breakfast, told a coworker they should share a donut, and as she broke one in half, it happened. Maybe
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. She thought it was a
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Jelly-filled, it was a nitroglycerin-filled.
The fire on the ship, which had seen such pretty smoke in the sky moments before exploded at 9:12 a.m. The two longshoremen, Johnson and Sanders, were swept up in a huge tidal wave that was lifted out of the Bayside docks.
Oops.
The water rolled them over and over, pulling them down each time they tried to catch their breath, until finally the onrushing tide slowed and caught itself before rolling in the other direction back into the bay. Both men had been carried 100 feet by the wave, and the sky looked as if it were on fire. Johnson, with only rags left on him, thought it was the end of the world. He thought about Bible scripture that said that once was destroyed by water would now be destroyed by fire. Sanders looked up to find himself by the local molasses company. Yes! His hair caked with sticky product.
Oh, and if he gets that flour on him...
Yeah,
Are you feeling that, devil? Are you feeling that? Like, I've been there. I feel your pain.
Yeah.
Not in the hair.
Good Lord. The boy who had been standing next to him at the fence was gone. At Monsanto, Mary Hunter was thrown behind a desk. From the ground floor of the three-story building, she could look up and see sky each time she awoke from unconsciousness.
You know what? But Mary is safe because Mary was working. Well, she was eating a donut, but she wasn't out there fucking around looking at the ship when she should have been working.
That's
like
true.
Yeah. These fuckers.
Hunter had thrown her right arm in front of her face just before a shower of glass, insulation, and debris cut her down. Now the arm looked like raw hamburger.
Ew.
A co-worker carried her out of the building but disappeared after putting her in a car whose windows and doors had been blown out. Well, what the fuck good did putting her in the car do?
Well, put your seatbelt on, for Christ's sake. You're all right. Just get in the car.
Right. Lying alone, she told herself...
Well, he didn't take her to Ray's. He carried her downstairs, put her in the car. What the fuck?
Jesus Christ. He's trying to be a good Samaritan. You just bad-mouthed him because you don't like his ride.
Well, I don't... Yeah.
He put her in the car.
It still runs. Lying alone, she told herself that she would bleed to death if she didn't get out. Mister, will you help me? She asked a man who hobbled by. What the fuck? Guy's got half a face. Hey, can you help a sister out? Let's see. We'll help each other, he replied. They made their way across an open field while fire and explosions raged behind them. At the Republic Refinery, the blast ripped off the headset of Doris Sheeran, the company's 20-year-old receptionist and switchboard operator. The concrete floor of the two-story building seemed to roll back and forth like a ship in heavy seas. Doris ran with a crowd of people.
Do you like that, Colonel? You like it? You painted
a beautiful picture there, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
Just a beautiful picture.
Brandy doesn't appreciate my prose.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
She doesn't do it justice, I'll tell you that.
Huh. All right, so Doris takes off with the crowd of people that rushed out of the building and jumped into a car, hopefully that had doors and windows, that was leaving the refinery. Then persuaded the driver to take her back to the refinery's main building. She was worried that without a switchboard operator, no one in the refinery would be able to use the telephones.
Really? Well, they were complicated. You know, they were complicated back in the day. You had to, you know, if Sarah wasn't there to crank up the, you know,
really?
Work the
Just
switchboard.
Go. Yeah. Jesus Christ. What she didn't realize was that most of the phone lines in the area were already down.
Oh, Doris.
No one was completely sure what had happened. At Texas City Hospital, a small 20-bed clinic on 6th Street, receptionist Lois Castain thought an oxygen tank had exploded in the operating room where a doctor was performing a tonsillectomy. Ew, why would you... Can you imagine, like, being in the operating room and some shit like that happens?
I would not want...
Oh, you're getting your tonsils out, yeah. They got the scalpel, and all of a sudden the doctor... Boom! Yeah, that ain't a funny joke to play on nobody.
No,
yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah,
that's...
We all condemn
minutes.
That.
Yes, thank you. We're taking a hard stand on that?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. And, Timmy, here's another fact for you. The Port of Busan...
Uh-huh.
On... Yong Island, they stole that. This is in Korea, so it's Yong Island.
Who the fuck
cares? It's bigger than the Port of Galveston.
Really?
Who the fuck cares?
I'm just saying,
Galveston's... It's an educational podcast, Brandy.
I'm saying Galveston's putting on airs about being this big port city.
I don't think
And the Port of Busan's bigger than them.
And they're only number 87, Brandy. That's the thing. If they wouldn't go around bragging, it would be a number 87 in the world.
All right.
Yeah. You know what, Colonel? So, I bet after this day, they dropped a few notches.
I bet they did. They dropped they dropped off the charts, Timmy. They wasn't even on Chartable anymore.
I bet you're right. Continue, Brandy.
Within minutes, though, workers from Texas National Bank next door began rushing into the hospital. They all had cuts. Within 45 minutes, people covered in oil and molasses, began staggering into the hospital. The halls of the small facility were soon packed.
We have to do a story on the molasses disaster. Because you know that happened.
I wonder if the price of molasses went up. I wonder if the people in New England, because you know these some bitches up in Boston
after this day,
and Canada fucked us.
I wonder if Dawn can get off molasses, because you know Dawn takes off oil off ducks. I wonder if it can take off molasses too.
But you know it's slow.
First thing that happened to me. Because those fucking Canadians up there, they heard about the molasses incident down there. We didn't lose that much. But they were like, oh, there's a molasses crisis now? And they doubled the price of molasses.
Brandy, they'll do that.
Because that's how Canadians are.
Yes,
they will take advantage of any misfortune. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So on one of the few working lines, Lois phoned Carbide and Carbon Chemical Corp, now Union Carbide Corp, where her husband, Roland, was working. The injured had severe burns, broken arms and legs. Some had feet that barely remained attached to their legs. Those caught in the tidal wave were shivering cold. When the supply of blankets was exhausted, curtains were taken down from the windows to wrap around patients to keep them from going into shock. The seriously injured were injected with a half a syringe of morphine. Lucky bitches.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know, like moaning and shit. Even if I wasn't hurt, I'd be like laying there moaning and shit.
Oh, you know, there was some insurance fraud going on after this, Timmy.
Junkies. There.
How'd you like to be one of the guys laying there complaining, oh, I'm shivering cold, and the son bitch next to you has been on fire for the last half hour?
Right.
That's insensitive, so, really.
Evidently, Roland showed up at this little hospital outpost and worked quickly, giving injections to patients pointed out by doctors and placing a sign on them noting the time of their injection and the dosage. From 4 miles away, the first flash of light from an explosion made Ken DeMate? How would you say that?
I would say that's right.
Yeah, whatever. And a co-worker, Red Murph, look up from their work at Carbide. Oh, they looked up.
The T would be silent in that, devil. The T is silent. DeMay.
Right, of course. All right, so Red and Ken looked up from their work at Carbide because they just didn't realize what was going on.
They were a little bit further away.
Yeah, they were busy. The two men stood in awe as the dirty orange cloud that rose into the sky took the shape of a mushroom. Oh. By then, a well-recognized shape of the nuclear age.
Yeah, this is 1947, so this is beginning of the Cold War.
Wait a minute. I love this part. Red, we're at war. The Russians have dropped a damn A-bomb on us.
Yeah, because, you know, Texas City, Texas, is probably the first place they're going to bomb.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But was
told us.
Wouldn't they go for the 86th most important port, Colonel? Well,
Timmy, I would think they would go.
Like they choose, Colonel, before Texas City.
Well, I think they would choose, what would you say is the busiest port in the United States, in the great United States, Timmy?
Maybe New York? I don't know.
Who cares?
What about you, devil?
The port of I don't give a fuck.
Well, you both be wrong. It is the port of Los Angeles, Timmy.
Oh, okay.
Amazing. It's an amazing story. All right. So they.
Well, if you open up a goddamn book once in a while, devil, we're trying to educate you here. Why don't you listen?
They think that the Russians have attacked them.
Okay.
The first concussion wave that hit them broke windows, knocked barrels over, and seemed to ripple the ground. The explosion was heard as far as 150 miles away, and the mushroom cloud rose 2,000 feet.
That'd been cool to see, though.
It really would. Pieces of the Grand Camp were hurled several thousand feet into the air. Some of the heavy debris landed on pipelines and storage tanks, igniting secondary explosions. Other pieces landed on houses and people. Hundreds were killed instantly. The curious bystanders, the ship's crew, the town's entire volunteer firefighter corps, except for one guy who is making deliveries on his beer route.
Well,
near this place, yeah.
Well, he was a volunteer. He had to work.
Wonder
the
if
Grand
it,
Camps,
Brand, Colonel, if the fertilizer is used to ignite that, would the fertilizer be would it spray everyone with fertilizer then?
Oh, they had a complete shit storm down there, Timmy.
Continue, Brandy.
Yes. All right, so the Grand Camp's 1.5-ton anchor was flung 2 miles and was embedded 10 feet into the ground at the Pan American Refinery.
And you know what? You tried to get your insurance company to cover that, Colonel.
Yeah, explain that one. Farmers, you see those commercials on TV. Yeah, Farmers is like, oh, yeah, we've seen it all before. No, you ain't seen this shit.
Farmers would cover
my 1.5-ton anchor's 2 miles away.
Instinctively, people ran, either heading north through the commercial downtown area or west towards the town of La Marque.
Oh, now they're running away.
Marquee,
before,
whatever.
They was running to it, dumb some bitches. When you see something on fire, get away from it.
Glass blown
people
out of
love
storefronts.
Fire.
Yeah, well, glass blown out of storefronts littered the streets and sidewalks. On the sidewalk in front of a jewelry store lay diamond rings, bracelets, and watches that had been jarred out of their display cases. But no one stopped. It was impossible to tell the white people from the black people.
Well, finally, it took this to get equality in that town.
Probably. Everyone was just covered in oil or molasses or both.
And you know, they say that if there's a if you're getting assaulted, getting beat up, getting robbed or whatever, don't yell help, help, help. Yell fire, fire, fire. Everybody will come running out their door to see it.
That's a good
point. That's true story. Yeah. So what do these dumb asses do? Oh, fire, fire, fire. What could be bad about fire? Let's go look at it. It's really cool. And then all of a sudden, now you're armed somewhere down in, you know, the hills of Tennessee, and it ain't so fun anymore.
Tennessee. What?
Continue, God. Brandy.
5-year-old Willetta Mays Williams had been walking to kindergarten with a group of classmates when the explosion occurred.
This is going to suck.
Yep, they all broke and ran. She reached for her brother's hand but found a classmate's instead, and for a moment she saw the legs of a woman running next to her, only to look up when the woman's feet appeared to slow and stumble. The youth saw that the woman had been decapitated.
I thought you was going to say she reached for her brother's arm and he wasn't attached
right.
to his body.
And that's all that it was.
So this woman was like a chicken. She was just running around with a head cut off.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
that sucks though. Like, if you're 5 and you look up and see that,
yeah,
I feel like you're scarred for life.
Hey, she lived through it to tell the tale, though. But you know, the children was the smart ones there, Devil.
They usually are not.
Judgment Day, Judgment Day, Timmy.
Scream.
Shouted a
shout
group,
it, Colonel.
Judgment Day, Judgment Day, at last. Shouted a dazed group of children walking aimlessly, as children are wont to do, through the middle of town. They did not seem to know where they were. Sounds like my kids on a Saturday night. Now, the Texas City disaster, Timmy, as it would become known, will become the deadliest industrial accident in U.S. history and one of the largest non-nuclear explosions. Witness compared the scene to the fairly recent images of 1945 devastation at Nagasaki, Japan.
It was a war, now, Brandy. We bombed Japan, 2 atomic weapons. It was a whole thing.
Well, yeah, it was a big thing.
Time, but I'm glad that you that were there can share that with me. Thank you.
Well, if you would have actually gone to history class instead of going to the Motel 6 to get a C, you'd know some of this stuff.
Really?
But anyway, Timmy, of the dead, 405 were identified. 63 have never been identified. An additional 113 were classified as missing.
Wouldn't they,
for
they,
no,
couldn't they cross-reference those somehow?
Well,
computer?
It'd be like...
What the fuck?
They needed to get a bunch of old ladies to dig jigsaw puzzles.
It was like, okay.
And get them all down there and say, put these people
bodies,
back.
Right?
Right. Oh, this looks like a corner arm. Yeah. Yeah. Let's put it right here.
Yeah.
A corner arm.
Well, there were some identifiable parts found, Timmy, but they was all up in Oklahoma and Nebraska,
you know,
and shit like
town,
that.
You get the town slut because she can probably identify the penis.
She can. She could. Now, this figure, these death figures included the firefighters who were aboard the Grand Camp when she exploded. But, you know, there is a silver lining in this, Timmy.
Okay.
Not nary a dog was killed in this explosion.
Nice.
See, we could tell stories all day about, you know, what Stalin did in Russia, what Hitler did, whatever, you know. But have an explosion like this and start to tell the tale of a collie being killed in it, and every sumbitch listening to this show is going to be like, oh, you know what I mean? What's wrong with people?
We don't want dogs today or pets.
No,
like animals,
I mean,
Randy. We are an animal-friendly show.
If you would have had Saving Private Ryan, you know how gruesome that was at the beginning, but people sat right through it. You know, that was fine. People getting shot, blah, bullets through the throat, everything else. Let a goddamn collie stroll across that beach and take a bullet. People would have been up in arms, Timmy. It would have been too much for them. Goddamn right it is. Goddamn. And you know why? Because dogs are better than people, Timmy. Dogs are better than people.
I know two people that they're better than.
I was just out just the other day, Timmy. I was out in the woods on the trail with Rudy the Wonder Dog, and I was watching him bop about chasing a squirrel. And I thought, you know, I don't know a human being finer than that dog right there.
You have one fucking page. You can't get through one fucking page. Honestly. Honestly.
Well, let me continue.
Another hour.
Let me get back on point, Devil, as you have distracted me. There's some speculation that there have been hundreds more killed but uncounted, including visiting seamen. You're familiar with that, aren't you, Devil? Yeah. Non-census laborers and their families. And it, because remember, this is down in Texas,
yeah,
and this
right.
is back when...
You probably have some undocumented workers there.
Well, and yeah, that was pretty much encouraged back then, mm-hmm. you know, for people to just come over and work. Mm-hmm. And untold numbers of travelers. However, there were some survivors as close as 70 feet from the dock. Now, they didn't have skin. They walked around with no skin the rest of their life. But now, the victims' bodies quickly filled the local morgue, what was left of the local morgue. Several bodies were laid out in the high school gymnasium for identification by loved ones. More than 5,000 people were injured, Timmy, with 1,800 admitted to 21 area hospitals. More than 500 homes were destroyed and hundreds damaged, leaving 2,000 homeless people, Timmy.
So were they 468 confirmed dead? Is that what we said? 404 identified and 63 never identified. So
well, you have
468 dead. That's really a miracle in itself that more people.
You probably had about 600 all told dead in this, but no dogs, Timmy.
No dogs.
Now, the seaport went from number 87 in the world to number 0 because the whole seaport was destroyed. But it didn't really matter because most of the businesses they was bringing stuff to was flattened or burned. Over 1,100 vehicles were damaged. 362 freight cars were, and I'll use Timmy's term, obliterated.
Hmm.
The property damage was estimated at $100 million, and that would be $1.1 billion in today's terms.
Yeah, if this story happened today, it would be a big fucking deal, Brandy. I mean, I'm sure it was a big deal then, but I wasn't around. I wasn't around 1947, so I don't know. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have access to my CNN app, but I'm guessing it was a pretty big story. But if it happened now, it would be huge.
Huge.
Well, the fires resulting from these, and see, Timmy, I like the way you do these scripts where you put the bigger words in my part and stick her with the two-syllable words so she doesn't stumble over.
Thank you, Colonel.
So anyway, the fires resulting from this cataclysmic event was still burning a week after the disaster, and the process of body recovery took nearly a month because we had to go up to Canada to get some of these sumbitches. So all four fire engines of the Texas City, the fire trucks were just twisted and burned hulks, Timmy. Hundreds of lawsuits were filed as a result of this disaster.
I bet they were.
And when a report found that all companies involved followed established rules and protocols, the lawsuits became the focus on the role of the U.S. government in establishing poor standards.
So they were
now
they,
many of the lawsuits.
So they were because they were up to code, basically. All yeah, they were up to code, but the code it's the code itself that was questionable.
Yeah. Well, see, this is why. This is why I say just cut all regulations, Timmy, because what could go wrong?
Right.
You know, we got too many regulations in this country. Just
like
cut them all.
What could go wrong? I feel like we've been talking for an hour about what could go wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, every time I hear that term, though, we have too much regulation, I think, you know, generally there's a reason they put that in place.
Yes.
So when you just take it away, maybe we ought to think about the unintended consequences, like, you know, somebody just sitting eating an ice cream cone in the Galveston Dairy Queen, all of a sudden ending up in Portland, Oregon, because you decided to cut a regulation. So,
Without any skin.
Now, many of the lawsuits were combined in the first major class action lawsuit. Now, the district court found the U.S. government was negligent. Imagine that, Timmy. In numerous ways, including the manufacture, package, and labeling of ammonium nitrate. Now, I believe that's one of the things that McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, used.
Yeah, I think you're right.
With fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Further compounded by errors in transport, storage, loading, fire prevention, fire suppression, all of which led to the explosions and the subsequent carnage. That's a good way to describe it. And all these, it was just like a... It was like the perfect storm. Everything that could have gone wrong in this thing went wrong.
Yeah.
Now, the appeals court, however, overturned this decision and claimed that the U.S. government was operating within its discretion on these matters. The case went on to the United States Supreme Court in 1953, which found that the district court had no jurisdiction under the federal statute to find the U.S. government liable for negligent planning decisions. And I have to agree with him, Timmy, because if you look out through our history of our country, you really aren't going to find any negligent planning decisions by the government now, are you?
No.
So they're completely blameless in all this.
Exactly. So Vietnam was well planned.
It was. I mean, they you can't blame them for everything.
Right.
Some things you just can't foresee, like taking on a land war in Asia, Timmy. But anyway... The court's decision outraged many local residents and members of Congress. Congress acted to provide some compensation after the courts refused to do so. Congress granted relief by means of legislation. When the last claim had been processed in 1957, 1,394 awards, totaling nearly $17 million had been made, Timmy.
Yeah, that's such a small amount, though.
Seems like a low number, yeah.
Yeah, for all the damage it did. All right. Yeah. So, Brandy, your final thoughts on the Texas City disaster.
Well, I guess that'll teach you not to stop and watch a fire burn.
Do you think that the government should have been liable for low standards?
Yes.
Okay. Colonel, what's your final thought on the Texas City disaster?
Well, Timmy, first of all, I think the Russians might have been behind it.
You think it might have been World War III?
This fire did not, there was not a lone fire. There was not a lone gunman in this fire, Timmy. There was many things that came into play, and it had to be a coordinated effort, I believe.
I say, Brandy, we're going to investigate this further. Never catch your fertilizer on fire, Brandy.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, you just, you know, Timmy, well, you have a condo, Timmy, but you take your house sometimes, and you spread down mulch in the summertime. Sometimes you can start to see it smoke.
Yeah.
I mean, this shit's dangerous. And here's another lesson for you people. Okay? If somebody yells help, don't be so goddamn cowardly. Just run out to help them. So if you hear fire, run away. Don't run to it. Run away. Unless you're a fireman getting paid to do this. If you're a fireman, please come to it. But, you know, this is one of those situations. To me, like, had I been in charge of the government, this shit would have never happened.
Yeah, I'm sure, Colonel.
I'd have said, I would have been at every port, and I would have said, what do you have in place? I had a little Colonel Hard hat on and my little tie and been checking these places out. This was a failure of leadership here, Timmy.
I see, Colonel. Well, I wish you were in charge of our safety.
He is. He's the safety czar of our floor.
We both are.
He cannot fucking handle it.
Can I ask you this, Devil?
I swear.
When
to Christ,
is the last time
you've been attacked by a bear, a puma, a shark, a werewolf, or a dragon
has bit you at work? Please just say thank you, okay?
Right. You need him on that wall, Brandy.
You need me on that wall, Devil. You need me.
Colonel, we would like to say,
places you don't want to talk about in the circle of excellence, you need people like me and Timmy outside the circle of excellence, Devil.
Yeah, because you're called fodder.
We would like to thank all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or, Colonel?
Or just a wee little bit, Timmy.
Okay, Colonel, do we have the list, or are we... Do you have the list to thank the people on Patreon?
You did not send me the list to thank people on Patreon.
We would like to thank all of you who contribute to us on Patreon, and we will read the names next time, I promise. Thank you all for joining us.
Absolutely, we will.
And we'll see you next time on History Dweez. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.